The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
It's a great Monday. Thanks for being with us. Into 2021 we go. Dick Vitale will be with us today, the Hall of Famer. I want to talk with him about Bobby Hurley, Dick's new book on the NCAA tournament, March Madness. Just having Dick on in general is always fun. The Hall of Famer Dick Vitale will join us. That comes up in about 10 minutes. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, that is where we take our business. They give us these cool pens at sports360az.com. Do you know the difference between a credit union and a bank? If you're saying, I really don't, you can log on and get all the information about Desert Financial Credit Union. They're a big part of what we do here at sports360az.com. We appreciate them as our title sponsor for 2021 for the whole year. All right. Jared Nielsen is our chairman of the board. So today is it's a day where I could do an hour easy on what happened to the Cardinals. I really could. They are now the longest tenured team to miss the postseason in the NFC, your Cardinals. They were 5-2 at one point this season, your Cardinals were. And they lost down the stretch to C.J. Beathard and John Wolford when they're trying to get into the playoffs. The opposition sent out C.J. Beathard and John Wolford. I did a couple of the Alliance games for the AAF, and John Wolford is fine in the AAF. But when it's a chance to go to the playoffs and you can't get to him, and it was just a comedy of errors yesterday. And actually, if you just go through the last couple of weeks, like, think about this for a minute. What was the best victory, like the most complete game that your Cardinals played this year? What was the most complete game? If you're being honest with yourself, I'd say it was against a bad Dallas team. That game was never in doubt. Even the Jets, while it was never in doubt, it was just the Jets were so bad, so bad. Was the Giants game the most complete? I don't know. They just didn't look good at all, the Giants. Now, flip it over to the other side. How in God's green earth now, looking back on it, did they lose to Detroit? How did they lose to Carolina without Christian McCaffrey? Just go down the list of games this year. I had mentioned that people in this town, and even some in my profession, were orgasmic over the win against Buffalo. And it's like, if not for just a miraculous play, that the opposition, all they have to do is knock it down. But they didn't. And so the Cardinals made the play, and they won the game. And so you know how the highlight, every year teams put together this highlight, big, fancy production. They pay thousands of dollars, and they use marketing groups. And they sit down around a table and say, okay, what is our highlight video going to look like so that we can take it out to the fans? We can take it out to sponsors. Got to get our sponsors to renew, up the number on the sponsors, even though we haven't been to the playoffs since 2015. So what are we going to do in our highlight video? Well, it's pretty obvious. We'll start with the DeAndre Hopkins play. It'll have some very crescendo music. And I'll have Dave Pasch doing the play-by-play, and I'll have Ron Wolfley in there, and they'll show it from different angles, and they'll show DeAndre Hopkins, and they'll get him catching the ball, coming down, and I can't believe it. Oh, my gosh. Guys, do you have anything in your video about the playoffs? No? Like, I'm not sitting here picking on them, but you, the fan, deserve so much better. The longest tenured team in the NFC without being in the postseason, your Cardinals. That's what should be the front of the headline, but that's not getting people excited. I get it. They have marketing. They got to pretend like everything's great. Everything's not great. The clock is on Cliff. If you don't think the clock is on Cliff, if they come out next season and they stumble out of the gate, come on. We can all see that Cliff Kingsbury is just made out to be somebody that came here that looks great on camera, that gets people excited. They put him in a pad at the draft where he looks so cool and sleek. And there's nothing cool and sleek about missing the postseason 5 years in a row. There's nothing about it. So the easy thing to do today, and it is something that needs to be discussed. I understand that. But if people just go immediately to, will Larry be back or not? No, you have all off season for that. This is a day of gnashing teeth. This is a day to criticize. This is a day to be pissed. This is not a day to sit here and say, oh, hey, we won 3 more games than last year. You know, we're that much closer. No, not when you're 5-2. And not with the way you crap the bed in games down the stretch. That's just not what this is about. If your check is being signed by the Cardinals, I understand that's the way you're going to go with this. I get it. If the Cardinals are part of your business partnership, I understand that. That's what you do. Got to protect where the bread is buttered. But if you just sit here and look at it on face value, there's nothing positive to come out of this year. Hassan Reddick's a free agent. Oh, well, look at the numbers he put up. He's going to go on the open market and his agent's going to put out the highlight tape of the Giants game and it's over. They bring him back, great. Patrick Peterson's run here, probably over. Go down the list of the players and say, Kenyon Drake going to come back? Dollars that are out there, running backs, are they really a necessity? And so, you know, if Michael turned around and something were sent out that Cliff were fired, somebody's going to get fired. Everybody wants Steve fired every year, and Steve never gets fired. But, man, what an utter collapse. And just the way they looked. It's almost like when the DeAndre Hopkins stuff came out a couple weeks ago, and, you know, nationally it was like, oh, media's making a big deal in Arizona about DeAndre Hopkins not practicing. And DeAndre goes out and says, you know, I don't need to practice. Come see me on Sunday. Well, since that time, does the team look inspired? The answer would be no. So who is the leader? Who are the leaders? Who are the guys that say, put this team on my shoulders? You know, when Chandler Jones gets hurt, he's not out there. Larry's at the twilight of his career. It's obvious to him, I'm sure. It's obvious to everybody. I would like to see Larry keep playing. If we're going to go down that path, I'll get into that a little bit later in the show. Paul Westphal passed away over the weekend, so I'm going to talk about that later. You know, the Suns, the way that they played last night, I'll take it. Yeah, you're just saying, what? They lost. Yeah, but look, this is a team that usually is losing by 30 and 40 and 50 to teams like the Clippers. And so it was a nip and tuck game last night. It was a very entertaining NBA game. The Suns are entertaining. There's not a question about it. And I've said, and those of you that have been here longer than a nanosecond know this to be true. The minute the Suns get things figured out, they will own this town. They will. It's not the NFL team. It's just not. It's never been. When they go to the Super Bowl, sure. But the Suns are a year-round deal when they get it figured out. That's why I've been so angry at Robert through the years. Like, how do you go 10 years and miss the playoffs with the Phoenix Suns brand? There's been some good stuff that happened over at Arizona State. And I'm hoping they play basketball this week. Because Bobby Hurley's team, the last time we saw them on the floor, they lost at Texas El Paso. We'll talk with Dick Vitale on the other side. Dickie V, the Hall of Famer, joins me next. Stay with us. As promised, the Hall of Famer Dick Vitale joins us now for a few minutes. None better than to talk college hoops. Bobby Hurley, we hope, and Arizona State are back in action this Thursday against UCLA. They've been off for 3 darn long, hard weeks. So I wanted to have Dick on about Bobby, the job that he's doing, but also about Dick's book. Dick's got this book out, and it's terrific, The Lost Season 2020 National Championship. All proceeds from this book will be donated to the V Foundation. And Dick, for Pediatric Cancer Research, Dick, I appreciate you joining us. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well, Brad. Really excited about, at least we're having basketball. I certainly don't like the idea you can't go to the games. I do from my home. I got a game, 2 games this week. I'll be doing them from my studio here, a game with Kentucky and Florida, and also with North Carolina, Miami. But you know what? At least we have basketball. But I thank you so much for mentioning the book, because the book is important to me for many reasons. First of all, it was great therapy in terms of, you know, not having a season, was very frustrating to people like myself who love basketball. However, there's so many other people out there got real problems. They're unemployed, lost their jobs, financially struggling, people losing lives, people very ill. So ours is minor, but at least we got basketball now. But the book was like therapy. I got together with Dick Weiss, Hall of Fame writer from out in the East. He's a terrific, well-respected Howie Schwab, who does a great job in terms of research. And we got together, talked about it, and we put the book together. And I'm proud to say I just sent a check to the V Foundation from some of the profits, $47,000 towards kids battling cancer. Wow. And I'm very proud that my gala, I have a gala every year, Brad, and we got celebrities galore that come. In fact, Bobby Hurley's been with us, and we get all kinds of celebrities. We have it here in Sarasota, Ritz-Carlton Resort, beautiful place. And we've raised so far, since we started the gala, $37 million for kids.
That is so awesome. That is so amazing. The idea of a book off of something that was so tragic for the college basketball fan, but as you mentioned, rightly so, for society in general, looking back on it, Dick, from your view, was it the right decision to cancel the tournament last year?
Oh, no doubt about it. I think that they did their research with the health experts, and there was just no way that you could play. And, you know, we got to think about safety and health of people rather than just worrying about our own individual desires and egos and to have games. So really, I think they did the right thing. And even this year, you see, Brad, it's really chaotic out there. I've had four games that I was supposed to do that get ready to do the game at 12 midnight. You get a phone call. There's no game, but at least I didn't travel. There's a lot of people who go out of their way. You know, people are realizing putting a telecast on is more than just the announcers. There's a lot of people involved, and a lot of people travel, get out there, get ready for a game, and then bam, somebody tests positive and there's no game. And it's really, it's chaotic. But you know what? Tough people get through tough times, and we will get through tough times. And I really believe that. I really believe we're going to turn the corner and start moving in a positive way.
Dick Vitale with us, the Hall of Famer. The name of the book, again, is The Lost Season 2020 National Championship. I do want to touch on Indianapolis and this idea that is about to become official, it sounds, of it being the center point for the tournament here in 2021, like the bubble in Orlando down by you. What do you think, Dick?
Do I like that idea?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Brad, I think really hands are tied. I think they're trying every way they possibly can to make sure we have a March Madness. When I look at it, it's not the ideal scenario, but you got to make adjustments. You got to deal with what you're dealing with. And that's what they're doing. They're trying to do the best they can and making decisions that allow us to at least have a tournament.
All right, get a drink of water there because I set up this next question with you. Dick Vitale with us. Bobby Hurley, it's his sixth season here at Arizona State. I came here when Bill Frieder was trying to turn this thing around. There's been some good coaches that have come and gone. 4-3 record this year, two terrific high-end freshmen, and Marcus Bagley and Josh Christopher. But Dick, I just want to get a feel from you about Bobby Hurley as a coach. I've had his dad on, and when he came here to this job, people usually hit their heads against the wall and then they leave Tempe. What do you see from a distance in what Bobby Hurley's doing out here?
Well, I think he's doing a terrific job. I really do. I think he's bringing a special feeling there, intensity, emotion, passion. He's such a competitor. He got the most out of his ability. I will never forget a story, Brad. I'll share this with you.
Yeah.
I'm at a Duke game. Duke's going to play Carolina. Biggest game, end of the year. Bob Hurley's on the team. He, Leitner and Hurley and Grant Hill. And I'm at practice the day before. All of a sudden, there's a loose ball, like near where I'm standing. A loose ball. He comes diving on the floor, going after the ball. And I looked at him, I said, hey, Bobby, has anybody told you you made the team? I mean, the guy's an All-American, but that's what makes him. He's all about winning. He has a winner's mentality. He learned that so much from his dad coming down. His brother's doing the same thing at Connecticut. He's a winner. He really is, Brad. And I think, as you mentioned, with Christopher, certainly Martin, a veteran player, and now Bagley as well, they got a chance. They really do. They play a UCLA team, obviously. UCLA's coming in 3-0, but UCLA just lost. One of your key players, Chris Smith, who's a star player, is out with an ACL. So you got to take advantage of that. They're in a situation, they haven't lost yet, played in one game, but as you said, they've been not playing, so you're not into the rhythm of playing. But it would be a great way to start to get a win over a UCLA team who's coming in 3-0.
What do you make out of the Pac-12 early on the season? I know it's been an oddball year with games canceled. Is it hard to make any read at this point?
Well, the reading you got is that it's going to be a more of a balanced kind of league. You got teams up there like Washington State really doing well. Just lost a tough one to Arizona. Arizona's only got one loss. You take a look, they lost to Stanford. Stanford's certainly a dangerous team. Oregon State. Beavers have won three in a row. They play Stanford early this week. But the bottom line is I think it's going to be very competitive. Very tough, but Arizona State is right in that hunt. There's no doubt about it with Hurley's ability to inspire, motivate, and with the talent. I mean, let's face it, you got to have talent. And when you got Martin, Christopher, Bagley, you got some talent. So you got a chance.
Last question, I'll get you out of here. And again, the name of the book, if you fans want to jump on board, it's The Lost Season 2020 National Championship. The Hall of Famer Dick Vitale with us for a few minutes. Fans here are scared to death that once Coach K decides to leave, that Bobby's out of here. What do you say to those fans about this? Because you could say that where Tommy Amaker is or any former Duke Blue Devil. But what do you say to the ASU faithful about keeping Bobby?
Well, you can say that about him. You know, there's so many guys out there. Jeff Capel, Chris Collins. Yeah. Bo Johansson. I mean, it goes on and on. So the bottom line is tell them to relax. I talked to Coach K the other day. Let me just tell you this. He's going nowhere. He loves what he's doing. I don't know. He's like I am. I'm 81 years old, man. I'm 81, and I'll match my energy and enthusiasm with anybody out there, Brad. So when you got that spirit and that excitement, and that's what Coach, I heard his voice, man. I was teasing him. I said, man, you sound like I was teasing him about the fact. He said, oh, I'm worried about this. Hey, I said, Mike. You know you're a Hall of Famer. Hey, Mike, do you know you won 3 gold medals at the Olympics? Hey, Mike, you have 5 national titles. And he goes, Mike's, you know, he can make a sailor blush. I don't want to hear that. Dude, I only care about this game. And that's what makes the Hurleys, the Krzyzewskis. They're all about the moment. So tell Arizona State fans, just put some green together. Put it together for Mr. Hurley, and they'll go nowhere. The sunshine. Are you kidding me? To be out there, he should pay them to work out there with that sunshine. Are you serious? No, Bob Hurley, you know, is going to be wanted by a lot of people. He's the kind of guy. He's young. He's very, very knowledgeable. He's got a great reputation. Work ethics off the charts. I'm going to be his agent, by the way. But can I just say one other thing about the book? I just want to make sure I get this out. Our book is not real. It's not available in stores. My book is available at dickvitale.com. Okay. And people go there, they can get an autographed copy. In fact, I got a bunch outside I'm going to be signing right now. People's, ordered. And bottom line is just go to dickvitale.com and you get an autographed book. You can get other books there as well. You can get hats. You can get basketballs. And every dollar, not 60 cents, but every dollar that I would make is going to the V Foundation from the sales. So please help us. And if you want me to write there, Brad's going to order one. I was like, Brad, you're the best interviewer I ever had. I'll write anything people want to make money for kids. There's nothing worse, Brad. If people think out there, listen to me now, you got a problem today? Well, let me tell you about the problem. Your problem is nothing compared to today and every day. 45 to 50 mothers and fathers every day will hear 4 words no mom and dad ever wants to hear. Your child has cancer. Mm. It's life-changing, Brad. I've gotten to know people. I've spoken at a couple funerals. My gala, we bring in a bunch of cancer kids to my gala annually. 15 years we've had it. As I said earlier, we've raised $37 million. It's not enough. If it was enough, these kids would all be living, of kids that we got to know who lost their lives. So I beg you from the bottom of my heart, people out there in Arizona, if you can help us in any way to make a donation at dickvitale.com for the V Foundation. You can buy my books and know that the money's going absolutely to the V Foundation. Just go to dickvitale.com. I'm begging you from the bottom of my heart.
As always, I appreciate you coming on and talking in depth and all the passion and emotion, Dick. Stay safe. Thank you.
Tell Bobby I said hello too.
Well, there's Dick Vitale with us, and we're back with more after this timeout. Thanks again to Dick Vitale for being with us. That was solid. That was so good. And of course, if you missed any part of this, this show repeats over and over and over the next 24 hours. We will put some of this on our Sports 360 AZ show that we air occasionally. We have the Football AZ show every week on Fox Sports Arizona. And time to time, we mix things up. And that was one for mixing it up. So there's some college stuff I want to get to today. Already buried the Cardinals in the A. Talked about the Suns a little bit. And I just going back on them, I like where everything is with them. I do. It's early in the season. When was the last time we sat here and a team was 5-2? Paul Westfall passed away. I saw Paul at Grand Canyon University when they opened their trophy room. This was about 5 years ago. And Paul and I had some tough times. There's no other way to put it. I hosted his show on radio on KTAR. I have had high and have high regard for Paul. Paul Westfall coached me in a basketball camp when I was in eighth grade outside of Santa Isabel and Ramona. I think it was called Oak Bridge with his brother Bill. My first time with Paul Westfall, and he liked my shooting form back then. He didn't like my form on the air because I just, when things aren't right in my space, I think you have to call them out and call them as you see them. Paul and I, it was a falling out. There's no other way to put it. And once he got fired, I didn't see him for a long time. Once Sons and Jerry parted ways with him. It's really interesting just going back through that. I was thinking about it. Jerry and I did a weekly show called Talk to the Sons, and then Talk to the Coach with Paul would be on a couple days later. And I did this for the first 5 years, 6 years I was in the Valley. And this was at the end of the Charles and KJ and Marley era. And there were just things that the team was not performing. Cotton wasn't happy. People weren't happy. And so Paul and I just, we had rough seas, choppy seas, I think is the best way to put it. And then when Jerry decided to part ways with Paul, it was on the air when it happened. I was doing Jerry's show and I just was pretty straightforward about it and said, you don't sound very happy tonight. And he said, there'll be a press conference tomorrow morning. And that was it. I mean, the town knew. And this was a different town then. This was, when I first got to Phoenix from San Diego, I met with some people around town, some people of influence. And Jerry told me, he said, you know, there's really about 10 people in town you need to know. And and I was just on the ground like a week into it. And I met with him and he gave me some names of people. And so it was just a different space. And when Paul was let go, there was anger by fans. There was, remember the late, great Joe Gilmartin had a column. And I read the column on the air and said, what a great column. And Paul's wife, Cindy, called me off the air and said, I can't believe that you would go down this path. And I called Joe about it. And Joe said, maybe I should have brought out the fly swatter rather than the sledgehammer, big guy. But I thought that he was dead on right. And change happens in pro sports. But you know, when I saw Paul at GCU the last time, we had a nice cordial chat, but it was up and down. That's the best way I can put it. And I had a high regard for his staff. Was Scotty Robertson was great. The people that were around him were terrific. Jerry surrounded him with really good people and good players. So condolences to he and his family. Steph Curry had 62 last night. And that's pretty much the basketball stuff. I just, like I said to Dick earlier, Vital, I really hope ASU gets to play this Thursday. Because the last time they were on the court, they lost to UTEP of all teams. And they beat GCU by just one. So it's time. Just get back on the court. All right, that takes us over to the Fiesta Bowl. So I want to spend a few minutes on this. I wrote about it. We all know the bowl season is no longer what it once was. And this isn't get off my lawn time by me. It's never get off my lawn. It is just don't go the way of the dinosaur, become extinct because you are so set in your ways that you're not willing to adjust. You're not willing to get out of your comfort zone. You've always done it this way. It's the only way that you know. And I think in this day and age in professional, in fact, I know it in professional sports and collegiate sports, you can't have that. You have to be progressive. And if you have the people that are just in your corner and they're saying, no, 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 this is the way we did it 20 years ago. That can't happen. The Fiesta Bowl is part of the college football playoff. So there's just large and large amounts of money. There's so much money there that I feel like the Fiesta Bowl has somewhat lost its way in terms of being in touch with the community. They do very good things. And yes, this is the pandemic that we're in, but I've talked to more than a few people at the Fiesta Bowl that are longtime Fiesta Bowl people. And they want to see the game get back to where it was. The ESPN broadcast of the game on Saturday, this isn't a disrespect towards Dave Pasch or Mike Golic. They're simply doing the game. I watched it, but it was just a game. It was just filling time. It was just wallpaper in a 24/7 television network. There was nothing special about it at all, except to those kids at Iowa State and Oregon. And, you know, as the game progressed, it's Dave's got to do readers. You got to do a live read on, don't forget, the national championship game is right here. Don't forget, we have NFL Live. Don't forget, we have the NBA. Don't forget. Halftime comes along. It's Steve Sarkisian leaving Alabama for Texas. I get it. That's a big story. What I don't get is a whole halftime where only 15 seconds, and it is the final 15 seconds, and it's one touchdown run, goal line touchdown run, and that was it. Now, coming up, we'll have Iowa State in the second half with Oregon. We'll see if the Cyclones can get it done with the Fiesta Bowl. And then the game ends, and they put two of the people on from the Fiesta Bowl in yellow jackets, and they do the trophy presentation, and that's it. And there was nothing. I know the parade is a big deal to some, and others it's like it's just a nuisance. I don't think it's a nuisance. I think it's great to have a parade. I think having band competitions was really smart back in the day. I think what they're doing with teachers is terrific. It is. But if you think that the Fiesta Bowl, outside of the years where it is part of the Final Four, is being it's special, it's not. And I don't know how you change that. Because in the news cycle here in town, in just seeing and hearing buzz from people, yeah, Iowa State would have brought a ton of fans, and I'm sure Oregon would have brought a ton of fans, but were they the conference champions? And were they in a space where the game mattered more than just, you know, an exhibition? These are just exhibition games. Add to that, and this nobody can deny this, opting out now by college players, that's a problem if you're in the bowl world. That's just a problem. You invite a team at the end of November and you're expecting them to bring their marquee names, which brings ratings, which brings eyeballs, which brings money, and opt out, not going to play, opt out. And so there's got to be a way. This isn't a bash. This is just simply, guys, let's look at everything here. Maybe it's best if you have bowls to start the season. Maybe it's best if here in the Valley, you don't have a game downtown and you have a game over in Glendale. Maybe you have them in the same location, or maybe the Sun Devils and the Fiesta Bowl and ASU and the Fiesta Bowl can sing Kumbaya, all get together and do what is best for the community. Because playing down a baseball stadium, it's a novelty, but it's nothing more than that. Going someplace where you can do the activation, if I'm going to put marketing on my head for a bit, going someplace like the Final Four. Final Four is great. It's so smart. It's not too spread out. It's in one big location. We have the advantage here of Arizona of not just Glendale. It's not all about Glendale, by the way. This isn't a Glendale play. You could play a game in Glendale at noon and you could roll the tray out and play another game at 7 o'clock that night. You could. Why not? Don't want to hear though, well, the, you know, the getting in and parking and tailgating and different fan bases and so on and so on and so on. No, you can do that. So you could put two games out there on the same day. You could. You could put a game over at Sun Devil Stadium on the same day. I would not advise playing a college football game at noon and at 7 on the same field. But if they felt like it was good enough, why not? You could put a bowl game in Tucson. You could put a bowl game up at NAU. You could put a bowl game at the Phoenix Rising Stadium, which is moving down to Gila River. These small bowls where they play in front of 12,000 fans and it looks awful in a big stadium, and it does, play it in a small stadium. If you want to use Chase, I suppose you could, but I don't think it's a great look. So there's another place. My point on it is, if you just start to get out of the box and think out of the box, because a lot of these bowls are going to go by the wayside. And yeah, it's important for community. I understand that. But who wouldn't want to come to Arizona if you're one team, two team, three team, four team, five? Why can't you do 5, 6, 7, 8 games over the course of 2 weeks in Arizona? Why? Oh, it's too hard. Really? So I'm asking to think out of the box. And I've spoke with some people around the Fiesta Bowl about this. It's just you guys have to reinvent. If you're just all caught up in cha-ching and the big check that comes in, fine. Knock yourself out. Keep doing what you're doing. But I think there's a better way to go about this to where you're not marginalized every few years because it's not special. They'll say, oh, special to Iowa State. The ratings, you can make ratings look any way you want. I'll be interested to see the ratings and compare them to, like, I don't know, an NBA game that's on the same day. The bowl game will do better. I'm sure it will. Bowl games do fine, but they don't do great. And they don't do the big numbers they used to. All right? Judd Nielsen is our chairman of the board. If you missed any part of this show, it repeats, starting with the Cardinals and my disappointment and my frustration and my anger, and I think that's healthy, and the Dick Vitale, and that's all going to repeat here momentarily. Thanks for being with us.